today, it's a really special episode for me. This is, as you see, it's called the DPC, the Dead Parent Club. I reached out to a few of my friends who we all kind of lost our parents around each other. And I am so thankful that they decided to sit with me and have this conversation. And I just wanted to give you a little intro to these really important people in my life. You'll hear more, and it's coming. But first, I have Hunter. She, her, lovingly calls herself professional pervert. From sex columnist, educator, and sex shop employee, she now spends her days as a stripper and entertainer in New Mexico. There's Jeremy, 35-year-old from Ohio, he, him, proud husband and stepfather, and everything is wrestling. Then there's Mel, 34 years old, she, her, LA native working in the music industry as a private caterer to artists and production teams, LA sports nut, and dog mom. And last but not least, Sarah, aka known as Sass, 38-year-old, she, her, sass mouth in the South, by way of California. She's a slow burn, dog, cat, plant mom, and always emo. It was important for me to show that in all parts of your life, as you will hear, they're all from different parts of my life, that we all have something in common. And eventually, we all join the DPC. So buckle up, get your tissues, get your snacks. And from all of us, I hope that you are able to take away something that you need and different perspective. Today's gonna be a really different conversation. I don't sound as hyped today, and I'm probably gonna cry a lot. So that's just where we are. And today we're talking about the one thing that all of us will go through at some point in our lives. I technically have gone through this twice, but I was so young when my mom was murdered that I feel like the disconnect, and this one feels the realest. Let's just do a quick little, who are you? I like to know who people are. Yes, we have like a little bio, which I will have read already, but I think that there's a difference in like, who are you today versus like what you put in a bio. So who are you? And I'm going to just call the first person and the rest of y'all can just jump in. Who are you? Hunter.
Hi, I'm Hunter. I use she, her pronouns. And in my bio and just in general in my life, I've lovingly referred to myself as a professional pervert. So I've been in the sex education realm. That's how Jiminika and I met. I've done, you know, I've been a sex columnist, sex shop manager and employee. Most recently, my adult work leads me to stripping and being an entertainer. And that's kind of where I've spent my last several years focusing my energy. And that's what I'm still doing now.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. I am a proud husband, father, stepfather to four kids. I cover the crazy world of professional wrestling, which can either be super entertaining or not very entertaining if you've been keeping up with it at all lately. And that is largely what I spend my day doing and watching a lot of sports.
I'm Sarah, better known as Sass to Jimmy. All my friends call me Sass. I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I am a paralegal by day, hair and makeup artist by weekend, and just a sass mouth every day.
It's true.
It's true. Hey, everyone. My name's Mel. I'm 34. I am from LA. I went to Cal Poly Pomona. I have a bachelor's in music and a minor in hospitality. I worked in hotels for over 10 years and am now in the catering world. Got to combine my love for music and my love for food, and I get to work in the music industry for production and artist catering. So that's what I'm up to now, and just very honored to know Jim through Feed the Streets and be a part of this episode and part of this group. So thank you.
Thank you all. I'll just do like a quick recaps. I met Hunter in the woods in West Virginia, learning how to be a sex educator. I met Jeremy on the internet on Twitter talking about wrestling, and we just really connected, and I'm very thankful. I met Sass in the line trying to get into the emo night. And that is also, this is like my brain and my life altogether. And then I met Mel on the street corner, feeding the street, helping the houseless. So, I think I'm already getting emotional. Okay, here we go. What does trauma mean to you?
I can go first. I think, you know, in a very broad definition, it's a, you know, a sense of something happening that's outside your control, something negative typically that's outside mm-hmm. of your control. And I think that can be so many things, you know, and, you know, it can be things that you notice and that stick with you and things that you don't notice and that you kind of come back to later on in your life and you're like, oh shit, that was traumatic. Okay. So it's kind of one of those things that sometimes it's very obvious what is traumatic and sometimes it's not as obvious until later. So it seems like it can be so many different shades of things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's that on top of something that is triggered an experience that you've had. And then kind of like you were saying, Hunter, later in life, something brings that back up. And then you do realize that, oh, that is what the trauma actually is. So it's a moment, not usually something bad, but a moment that sticks with you that gets recalled maybe more often than you would like it to be recalled when something else happens that kind of just triggers that bad moment.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that. For me, I'm 38, so I guess I'm a little bit older, but growing up, we didn't talk about trauma. And things just happened and you just dealt with it or swept it under the rug and kept it moving. So for me, having to define trauma now is I'm still learning because it's been something that's always been kind of just swept under and just carry on. Let's keep going.
Yeah, definitely resonates with me. I think, you know, part of it is telling yourself that you deserve better and that you deserve happiness and to break through that. And I think for me, working in the service and customer service industry my whole life, like always making sure everybody else was taken care of and filling up everyone else's cup and just always leaving myself empty and coming through the other side of that and telling yourself that that you deserve better.
Yeah. Of course I'm the trauma queen and that's all I do is talk about trauma all fucking day, all day, by choice. And I think trauma is something that I've always known as, you know, having your mother murdered in front of you when you're one, you just come out just like, oh, is this it? And it's like a thing, but I think right now what I'm learning about, which will be my next question is like what grief is. Like I've been able to support people in grief and I'm like, of course, I've been in school my whole life. I know what grief is, mm-hmm. but then I didn't. God, I'm a cry already. Okay. So what does grief mean to you? And like, how does it look different to you now than it? Yeah. How does it look different to you now after you have lost?
I think for me, it's just like this immense sadness that I had never before known. And it's like losing a body part. My dad was so much a part of my life. Me, him, and my brother were just like the three musketeers. Like we were always together. We were always doing everything. And it was just, and still is, this immense sadness and a sadness I'd never felt before to this degree.
I think it's, I agree with that. And then kind of on top of that, like sometimes I have trouble almost defining it until it sort of just hits you. So mm-hmm. I also lost my dad and he passed on June 6th of last year. So like every 6 of the month, which happens to be today, actually, like it just hits. And it can be a very random time. Like my mom texted me today and was just said, "I love you." And I was like, "Oh, I know what this text mean." And I just kind of like lost it right then. And she was just, you know, texting to say, "I love you." But like, I knew the, I don't know if ramifications is the right word, but what she meant by it, just by the day that it was. And like, I guess that is grief of just when something will hit you and you kind of understand it, but it's also just very at a random time and you're not really prepared for it.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. Little things will spark it for me. And I lost my mom when I was 15. And so that was different then because I was 15 and I just lost my dad in August of last year. And so now it's replaying the mom loss grouped in with the dad loss. And then just this feeling of, oh, I'm an orphan. Like, I'm an adult. I tend to myself. I take care of myself. I have been self-sufficient for a long time. But yeah, I feel like a fucking orphan. And at 38, and it sucks. So yeah, for me, it's just a big, grief just tends to feel like just a giant loss of what I don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely can sort of resonate with what you all said. And I think one of the things for me is it's almost like some like underwater cave or something, because I keep like finding new compartments or new rooms where I'm like, oh, here too? Oh, okay. Like, yeah, like I'm going to feel this sad again. Like I was sad about that like 2 weeks ago, but like, I'm going to just do that one again. Okay. So it's kind of like, I'm like lost in this like enormous underwater cave and I keep finding new rooms where I'm like, oh yeah, this sucks again. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just like, you know, and it's like, I'm just in it all the time. And, you know, I think for me, and I had a friend who told this to me after my mom passed, cause the 1 year anniversary of her death was this previous Friday. So February 2nd, but I had a friend who told me, she was like, your body will know that you're grieving before your mind does sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, sure enough, literally 1 week before the anniversary of my mom's death, I just got like sick in all these really weird ways where I wasn't like sick, but I was just having like these strange symptoms come up, and I had like a headache for a day, and I was like nauseous, and I had GI stuff, and I just upper respiratory, and everything happened. And I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, oh wait, here it is. This is what's happening. So it's kind of like, just discovering all these little cracks and crevices where like grief has kind of crept into my life. And sometimes I'm still stumbling upon the new areas and the new ways that it's there. And it just feels very all encompassing and chasm-y. It's a lot. And there's just always new little pockets of it that I'm figuring out.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying. Like I can't even like do shit. Like, no. People are like, how are you doing? I'm annoyed, honestly.
Yeah. I'm just trying to drive down the street right now. I don't need to be having a hysterical cry set at this light.
Yeah. A song will come on and it's just like, oh, really?
Oh, the music. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sat down to pee the other day and I was like, oh, why am I crying? Like, I can't even pee in peace. Just trying to pee, guys. You all kind of brought up who you lost. And I think it's also important for all of us to kind of just like have like those memories. And if you would like to kind of talk about who that person was for you, I can start. I lost who I call now my G dad. There's a whole nother podcast about this, just about me crying and talking about grief, but I lost my grandfather, and he and my grandmother adopted me when I was one after my mom was killed. And it's like, he was the representation of like what I deserved, like what a man was. Was he a perfect dad? Also, fuck no. He was a Trump supporter, a little homophobic. But
he can relate in the
ways. Yeah, I know. And he loved me in the best ways that he could. And I always knew that I had a safety net with him. And I always knew, like, I would leave the house and, like, I have a, I will tell people who are listening, sneak fucking photos and videos of your parents. Because I would sneak, like, little videos. And, like, he had prostate cancer and it came up during the pandemic. And then he was cleared and then it came back early last year. He died April 28th, which is a magical day and an awful day. I signed my dream job contract working at AEW and then my dad died. So it was so cool and not. But I have one of those live photos of him doing the thing he used to always do. He always made sure that when we were leaving the house, he would come and sit in the back of his truck and like swing his legs like a little kid talking. And I thought I just took a photo, but it was alive and it's him talking, swinging his legs. And so when I have those moments and I'm like, I don't want to forget his voice. I don't want to forget what he looks like, and I'll play it. And then I'll just do this and just cry. But I'm so thankful that I had that. I'm so thankful that he taught me all the things. But yeah, who did you lose?
I lost. Oh, sorry, Hunter.
No, you go.
Okay. I lost my dad. It was June 6th. of last year, and so I'm an only child, and so I got a lot of attention and everything. My parents were always there and supportive everything I did. My dad was very much the working man of the family. Like, he worked long hours and then he would come home and he would take care of the yard. He would do everything around the house that he needed to. Like, he was up early, home late, because he worked construction. And it was almost, I'm learning later in life as I am now a stepfather, a very like lead by example, kind of father. Like, we had a good relationship. We didn't talk too often, but anytime I needed to talk, he was there. But I was closer to my mom in that sense. What I'm really learning thinking back now, after he is gone, is just like how much he actually was there that I maybe didn't realize as a kid, because I was always the closer to my mom. But now being kind of stepfather, I'm seeing the ways that he was there that maybe I didn't process as well as a kid. And now I wish I just had those memories back, or I had that extra time with him. And what I really wish is that, like, I could have those chats with him of just being a dad, because I got married in October of last year, so he didn't even make it a year from when we got married. And by January of this year, or I guess last year at this time, sorry, he had gotten really sick. And so basically I knew him as the person he was for about 3 months of my marriage and 3 months of being a stepfather. And then he was only around 6 months after that. And every day I just wish that, like, I could have dad chats with him of, like, what am I doing wrong here? Yeah. What can I do differently here? Of, like, I can't ask my mom dad things, and not having him around, not even if, like, good, bad, to like share moments with him, like not having him around becomes tougher as bigger milestones like come up with the kids. And I really just want advice, and I don't have my dad to go to for dad advice.
Yeah, I so I lost my mom, like I said, in early February of 2023, and it all happened just insanely fast. About 7 to 8 weeks was when from her first diagnosis of cancer to her death. So she ended up having 3 different types of cancer, and one of them was a brain cancer that progressed very fast. And it was just very shocking because my mom was this like tiny, petite, giggly little lady. A little ball of fire. You met her a couple times, and she was always laughing. She was really health conscious. You know, she was going to the gym, and she loved to dance and, you know, cut out dairy and alcohol. You know, she was doing all the things. She was going to all of her doctor's appointments, exercising. And so it was just really shocking that, you know, when she started not feeling well, you know, and she went to the doctor and it was one cancer, and then it was another cancer, and then it was a third type of cancer. And it was just took 7 weeks, pretty much from her first diagnosis to her death. So it was really just, you know, shocking. And, you know, I was reeling from dealing with a cancer diagnosis that she had. And then I got back from a trip and she was not doing well. And I was sort of rearranging my schedule so that I could go take care of her. And then she was in the hospital for about 5 days, and then she was in hospice for about a week, and then it happened. And it was just so fast paced that I just felt like I couldn't even, you know, figure out what was going on and what needed to be done. So it just was like, it did feel like trying to, you know, sort of scoop water out of a boat that's like very much, you know, halfway underwater. So that was just the quickness of her decline was really shocking. And I think is one of the things that I'm still reeling from. And just also the, you know, the little things, like I found an old phone last week, and I am the kind of person who never apparently deletes my voicemails, but I'm so glad for that now, because I have just a bunch of really kind of boring voicemails from her, but I listened to a few of them and I realized that she starts off like every voice message the same, which is like, "Oh, hi, Hunter." And like, I listened to like three of them and then like cried for like 3 hours and was like, "All right, well, we can only listen to a few of those every now and again if you want to get anything done." But it was really sweet just to have that little like voice memory of her. Just, "Oh, hi, Hunter. Oh, hi, Hunter." And I was just like, my mom is so goofy and silly and sweet. And I now just have this little voice notes, voicemails from her. So that was finding that old phone and finding out that I hadn't erased all those voice messages was honestly one of the best things that I could have found, just because her light, you know, her laughter, her giggliness really comes through in that. And I was very glad to have that little sort of token to listen to. But like I said, I have to microdose on that, because apparently I can listen to like one and then I'm like, "Oh, okay, now I can't do anything else for the rest of the day."
I never delete my voicemails either. So, yeah. And I keep all my old phones. So guess what I'll be doing later.
Yeah.
Crying on the floor. Yep.
Yeah. I lost my dad in August of last year. He had been sick with bilateral kidney failure for, gosh, a decade or so. Was getting dialysis, always thought that he would be on the donor list or transplant list. Because he had the universal blood type. That was his reasoning. He had just infections after infections from like the ports of receiving dialysis, and couldn't recover from one thing without another thing coming up, and it just got the best of him. I got a call from his wife that he, and this is the best part, he didn't want to tell me because he didn't want to worry me. He's also the most stubborn. No, I don't love that, because my whole life he has been the most stubborn man to a fault, and has lost countless things for our family because of it. Like, this is getting off track, but you know, we had everything in a storage unit at some point. Everything belonging to my mom, her recipes. She was a great cook. I had been after him to get, you know, to take me to the storage unit because I wanted these pictures. I wanted these recipes. And after like a year, he finally said, "I let it go because I couldn't afford to pay for it." And I was just like, I'm an adult. My brother is an adult. We would have paid to get it out of Hawk and like gone through the stuff. And so I didn't talk to him for a long time. Our relationship was definitely strained as I was an adult. Again, Trump supporter, homophobic, just kind of racist, and told me I should have been arrested for protesting for BLM because I was blocking traffic, like shit like that. So we didn't speak for a really long time. Went to therapy, worked on my radical acceptance of him, which I'm glad I did. And I just kind of let all that shit lie. But all that to say, yeah, didn't want to tell me. His wife told me when he got moved to the ICU. And she said, I think you need to come. It was during LA's hurricane that y'all had. And I couldn't get a flight out until 3 days later. All the flights were grounded. And so I spent all my rent money, bought a flight, got there Tuesday. He had passed, like, I got the call Saturday, Sunday night, gone. And I never got to say goodbye. I mean,
yeah.
I did. I was at the bar. And they put the phone up to him and he couldn't respond, but I just was sobbing in the bar, telling him that I loved him and I'm sorry I couldn't be there. And to thank him for being my daddy. Because growing up, we did have a good relationship. I was a total daddy's girl and I had a great childhood. It was only as an adult that I kind of wondered why my mom picked him, because I wouldn't have picked him. And that's a whole other thing. You know, my mom died very suddenly. She was in the hospital for an ankle surgery. She had really bad arthritis and all of her joints were fused and fake, and it was pretty routine. So, and we were used to it. I was used to my mom being in the hospital all the time. But they called one night and said, you know, she's going into the ICU. She's not feeling well. The day before I had seen her, she'd been really loopy, really out of it, and said that the nurses gave her too many pain meds. And my dad was out of town. It was just me and my brother. And we had to drive to the hospital and sit with her. And then they asked for us. My dad was coming back, driving back from being out of town, like in Vegas. And so we eventually just had to make the decision together whether or not to keep her on life support, because she had gotten to the point where she would have been a vegetable. And she already required a lot of care. I mean, I bathed her. I helped her go to the restroom. She slept in a hospital bed in our living room because it was too hard for her to go upstairs. I was already her nurse at from 10 to like 4, my whole life leading up to that point. And so we just didn't want her to be in pain anymore. So we said to just take her off. And she was the best mom. The best mom I could ever ask for. She was somehow a Scorpio, which I have no idea how, because she was so sweet and so nice and not spicy at all. she was a homemaker and she was a really good cook and a really good baker, and she loved the shit out of me and always let me know it. And I don't have voicemails from her. I barely have any pictures, but I have cards and I have garments of hers that somehow still smell like her. I don't know how. Because she's been gone as long as I've had her, you know, longer than I had her now at this point. So, yeah, sorry, I kind of got on all these different tangents, but those were my people that I lost.
So I lost my dad. He was my hero from childhood, present for everything. he was raised by a single mother and I think wanted to be the father that he never had. And man, did he succeed, you know, 20-fold, just incredible. Instilled in me a passion for sports and was my basketball coach and my softball coach and did homework with me and even just being an awkward kid, asking 1,000 questions. I remember one day in the car, just like, it was just a barrage of like, well, why is this? And why is that? And why this? And he just looked at me and he's just like, are you serious right now? Like, he would always humor me. He was just wanted to make everybody laugh. He was so full of joy, loved music so much. As a 21-year-old kid growing up in Cleveland, he wanted more for his life and he drove out to California and played tennis and eventually became a teaching professional and had his own tennis club and met my mom and started a life out here and just had a really beautiful existence, really for the most part. In 2008, when the housing and mortgage crisis happened, he was working for a bank on 100% commission job when banks were giving out loans and could not pay rent, couldn't pay any of our bills. My mom is a hairdresser. She's been cutting hair for 50 plus years now, so she certainly wasn't able to, you know, handle all of our bills, and they ended up separating and getting a divorce. I went off to college. My brother was a few years younger than me, so he was still going through high school at that point. And you know, no matter what life threw at my dad, he was always there for us and would give us the last dollar in his wallet, even when he was sleeping on air mattresses and driving limousines to get by. He wanted to make sure that we never struggled. And his joy was my joy. And I lost him May 15th of 2023. I got a call around 11:30 on this Monday. And it was from a Redondo Beach police officer. And for some reason, like as soon as he said who he was, I kind of had this like initial gut feeling of, oh my God, dad. So basically what happened was my dad lived in Redondo in an apartment complex and they had street sweeping on Mondays and his neighbor had texted him, Marty, your car, make sure you move it. Neighbor went to work, came back and saw that my dad had not moved his car. And he was like, that's not like your dad. Your dad's on top of everything. Gets the property manager, opens up his apartment, and sure enough, he had passed away. He was with his dog, Coach, who I now have, who's just the sweetest little boy ever, our 11-year-old pit mix, and was with him until the very end. And you know, I never got the opportunity to say goodbye or tell him all the things that I wish I could have said, but I feel like the way that we lived our lives and the love that we had for each other, you know, he knew. I didn't need to have that. I never got to see him get old. He was always you know, walking his dog every morning and going to a different park and still like very active. We believe he had some sort of heart failure. He didn't take great care of himself. He ate whatever he wanted. I didn't see him drink water ever. It was Diet Pepsi morning, noon, and night. He was
at least it was diet.
Like, he tried.
5:30 in the morning, and I hear this. The sun ain't even up, Dad, and you're hearing the ch of the Diet Pepsi. So. he lived his life exactly the way he wanted to. He joked before that, you know, I hope one day I just go to bed and I don't wake up. And that was exactly what he ordered up for himself. And he decided to exit stage left when me and my brother were living our dream jobs, our dream lives. He was in such a good place in life. It was all good. So I'm grateful for that. And even though, like I said, we didn't get to say goodbye, one of the last things that he texted me was, hey, make sure you come by because I have donations for Feed the Streets. And so he knew what I was about. He knew what life was about. He knew the important things. He instilled those things in me. And I'll always be about that and be about him. So,
I got to see my dad the week before he died because I had to go travel for work. And for some reason, like, I took a photo with him that day. And I was like, let's take a photo. And I was like, you better fix your face for this photo. You better stop scowling at me. And he was like, oh, fine. And I remember I took the photo. And for some reason that day, I was like, are you scared? And this is the only time he ever said yes. And I was like, what? Like, he's always like, I'm fine. And I'm like, okay. But he said yes. And I was just like, fuck. What is that even, like, what? Like, what? That scared me. And I didn't tell anyone that he said that. And then that day I was coming home, I did, like, the best keynote for a college of my life. I made the dean of the college cry. And I was like, yes, bitch, cry. and then I signed that contract. And I was like, I can't wait to get home and tell him, like, I got to do this thing. But what I did get to do before is I worked a Ring of Honor show of WrestleMania week. It only matters for some people. Jeremy will understand. And I got to video chat with him and show him the back. He's like, who are all these big guys? I'm like, those are the wrestlers. He's like, well, tell me their names. You don't, it doesn't matter. But I got to, like, show him that thing. Like, I never got to, like, really, like, tell him all the cool shit and all the wild stuff that working in wrestling actually is. But I remember that day was just like, I was on a plane. My cousin called me. My mom called me. I was like, no one calls people. So shit was like, something's not right. And I just remember landing, and it was, I talk about this later. It was the second date with my now boyfriend. And he was like, do you want to cancel? And I was like, no. Because something tells me I will never get to celebrate me getting my dream job again. And so we went and ate dinner and did some wild shit because it's me. And my cousin called. And he was like, he's going into organ failure. And I was in, for those that don't get it, I was in Hollywood and I had to drive to Riverside. Honey, that is a drive. I called my best friend. I called my best friend and I was like, here's what's happening. Can you talk to me? She said, absolutely. She talked me the whole way, and it was like a fucking movie. I like pulled up and my cousins knew, and they came downstairs and one of them was smoking a joint, and I just walked up and stuck my hand out. He handed it to me. I hit the blunt and I was like, and then they were like, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And I walked into the hospital. You know, you're supposed to like do security and shit. Not I walked, I looked at that person, they looked at me and they opened the door. No, I was like, power bitch, we don't have time for this. And I got there and I got to the room when he hit zero. And I was like, and my mom goes, oh, you made it. And I'm like, to what? And it was like, everyone was crying in a different corner. And I did what I always do. I smiled and I made everyone laugh. Because for me and anyone that knows my work, I believe that if you're laughing, you're breathing. If you're breathing, you're present. And we get to exist in that moment. Because all this fucking sucks. And so it kind of leads me to like the next thing of like, what the fuck happened after they died? Like, how was that for you? Because I was like, I'm so glad weed is legal. What was it like for you?
definitely smoked the brains out of my head. so much weed. Just definitely a struggle. I think trying to find joy again, because just everything sucks and nothing matters now. So what is joy? What does that mean? And I think it means something a little bit different every day. Sometimes it's just finding the strength to get out of bed. And sometimes it's accomplishing your dreams somewhere in between. So just trying to find joy after the struggle.
I definitely went to the weed route as well, which I had to not do with kids around and everything, but being, so I live in Ohio, where it's not, I mean, it's not legal in Ohio or North Carolina, but North Carolina is where my parents were. So every time I would visit them, which was a lot, as from January to June, because he just had a lot of health issues, we would just smoke together because that's what we would always do. So smoking felt like the appropriate remembrance for him after he passed, because that's what we would do together. And then I think the most difficult part with everything since has been just being there for my mom, because an only child, they were high school sweethearts. They like, that's all my mom knows. And like, now she lives alone. And they had a dog. They had two dogs. Unfortunately, one dog passed like a month after my dad. And I always said that was, her name was Brandy. That was his dog. And as he started to decline health wise, she was like 13. So she was already an older, she was a bigger dog. I always said they're going to go within a month of each other. And they did, they went with less than a month. She went July 3rd, like less than a month with each other. So now she's just has the one dog, and, but otherwise she's just kind of alone. And, you know, I'm here in Ohio. A lot of her friends are in Virginia. So trying to balance like my personal life, my life, with being there for her, even though I'm 9 hours away, has really been the most difficult part of all of this. And like checking in on her, but not trying to like overwhelm her and make it seem like she is struggling, because I don't want to put that thought in her head. Like that's been really the most difficult part. Is, and then, sorry, but also finding time for myself, like,
fuck yeah.
it's checking in on my mom, doing the stuff that I need to do at my job, being present for my family. And then it's like, okay, but I need to also make sure I'm doing okay. And just like really balancing all of that and trying to give proper time and care and thought to all of that has been one of the most difficult portions since he's been gone, on top of what I mentioned earlier of just like, I wish I could just have dad chats with him and try to figure out if I'm doing okay as a stepfather. But trying to balance everything has been really the most difficult portion of all of this.
I don't weed. I can't weed. So I went.
Sass cannot weed. I can't weed. Sass can whiskey though.
I whiskeyed and tequila. And rosé'd my little heart out. It was, well, with my dad anyway. With my mom, it just felt like a bad dream. And I remember sleeping a lot and like waking up and being like, oh, maybe that was just a bad dream. And then coming downstairs and being like, oh, no, that's still like what happened. Because I was just a kid. But yeah, with my dad, I was similar to you, Jimmy. I was out at a really fancy meal, and by this chef that I love, Sean Brock, and I was at his like big to-do restaurant with a guy I was dating, and I got a phone call, and I was just like, I know this isn't good. So like, and I don't know when I'm ever going to get to come back here again, because this is expensive and I'm not paying for it. Hello. So, so I was like, I'm going to enjoy this, because I don't think I'm going to get to enjoy things after this. And it was really hard to just like remove the two. But yeah, when my dad passed, it was just drinking and then coming straight to California and then just being with my friends that are my family. And that was, and yeah, just feeling like, again, kind of like it was a bad dream, or I was just floating, really numb, a real numb feeling that like, oh, okay, this is just the new reality. And like, it hasn't hit me yet. It'll hit me when it hits me, but it's not right now. Kind of a thing.
Yeah, for me, I feel the numb thing. I feel like almost the 1 year anniversary was more challenging in some ways than right after my mom died, because there was just so much to do that I was just doing a lot. And that now this time I'm just kind of like, whew. So definitely feeling the numb thing. But I will say the absolute best thing I did, was in sort of a newish relationship, and that person basically was like, how about you not work? And like, I'll just take care of bills and stuff for this, you know, month or two. And I actually took a time off work because, you know, contrary to popular belief, lap dances are not better when the strippers cry. So I was like, oh, there's so much crying. I want to do it. Or, so I was able to, I took about a month, almost a month off of work, which was amazing. And not everybody can do that, obviously. So, I mean, if you can, by all means do it. But the other thing that sort of fell into my lap is I had a friend who had a dog who had gotten pregnant staying at her ex's house, and she didn't know about it until it was basically too late. So she had like a very unexpected litter of puppies while she was moving houses. So she could not take care of this litter of puppies. So I then took care of a litter of puppies, and that was honestly the best thing that I could have ever done, because I just walked into the little spare bedroom and was like, ah, hello, like, hello, little puppies. And there's just, you know, I had to nurse some of them, and I just got to stay home with a litter of puppies. And that was honestly one of the best things. And I remember my therapist, it was funny, she was like, let's set up another appointment, but I'm just going to tell you that you taking care of a litter of puppies is better than any therapy I can offer you. And she was very right about that.
Yeah. That sounds like a dream, honestly.
Yeah, being around animals, fostering animals, like if you're that kind of person, you like animals, like I just can say that really helped a lot, just because I would just spend hours in a grief mind state. And then I'd be like, wait, hold on, you have to go look at these puppies. And I just couldn't help but smile and be a little bit happy when I was like taking care of little baby dogs. So that was an interesting, you know, situation that actually was very beneficial for me.
That sounds way better than trying to like balance little infants. Yeah. So be like,
yeah.
Oh God, that's scary. When I think about like what coping looks like, it didn't look like what everybody said in those stupid ass books. It was like, you should go do this and do this. And I was like, I'd like to lay on my sofa under my 15-pound weighted blanket and act like it didn't happen. And maybe this is just a me thing, but it still feels like it didn't happen. It felt like it was yesterday. It felt like it was years ago, like all at the same time. And you're like, well, which one is it, bitch? Pick one. and so like, the coping for me now is like, oh, this is a feeling. I'm actually being it. Like, I feel like the first few months, like you said, there was so much to do. And it was like all the adulting parts of my life that I was like, I don't like this. Like, these are all the things I tried to avoid because they were older, right? Like my mom, my grandmother, she's 82, right? Like, she's about to be 82. Don't let me, is she gonna be like, stop lying on my age. She's about to be 82 and never rent a house. Like, he paid, he did all the things. And so it's like having to also, like Jeremy said, figure out balancing of myself and like setting boundaries, which is also hard because you don't want to feel like you're not showing up for people, but also you're like, I'm fucking drowning. Like, can I have some air, please? And so like, it's been weird, but now my coping looks like sitting in the moment and being like, okay, I'm allowed to feel this way. Like, feelings are allowed, and stop trying to avoid them because it doesn't matter. And it's like, bitch, you do this every day for work. You know, you can't avoid it because it's going to be like, psst. And so what does coping look like for you now? We're all a few months out, a year out, and how are you taking care of yourself now?
I don't think I am. I think I've been definitely eating my feelings, sleeping my feelings away. I'm at the heaviest I've ever been, and I just have zero motivation to do anything good for myself that isn't drinking water, sleeping a good amount, treating myself to any sort of treat that I want. Whether it's food, I'm like, or alcohol. Yes, yes. That's my coping, is I'm just like, I deserve this, but it's not anything that's actually benefiting me, I don't think. Like, I just went to New York for the weekend, and you walk around New York and my back has been having major problems because my core is not strong, and I couldn't walk around New York. I had to take lifts everywhere, which is so embarrassing. Like, I know how to New York, and it's like, that's not how you New York. And so now I'm feeling like I'm too old and tired for New York, which is sad. But for me, I don't think I'm doing it that great of a job. I would like to be doing better.
I don't think I'm coping. I don't know if there is a right way to cope, but if there is, I don't think I'm doing it the right way of basically distracting myself with everything else going on in life, which is very easy. And I think that's why I just kind of turn to that. As Jeminika can attest to, wrestling does not stop. It's literally a 24/7 thing. So it's very easy to just throw myself into work. And just, if I want to work 24/7, I can easily work 24/7. And so I will just do that to distract myself. And having 4 stepchildren, very easy to distract myself of, one has an activity at this time, another has this time, one wants to play a board game, another wants to play a video game. It's very easy to balance that. I think the best way I do cope is with them, with my wife. I stay very present in those moments. The work stuff I will just do and do and do, and that'll be my distraction away from everything. I don't want to talk about anything. I don't want to do anything. I'll just throw myself and drown myself into my work until everything goes away and I don't have to think about it. So I guess if I am coping well, it is the family aspect of it, of, okay, I have a purpose and a role in this family. I should probably do a good job at that and not let them down. So I guess if I am coping, it is that. But taking time to myself, anything like that, very poor job of doing that to cope with and like process anything. Like, I don't like sitting with my thoughts and feelings. I much prefer my brain to just keep going and keep distracting so I don't have to sit with those thoughts and feelings. And I don't know if that's a good way to cope, but that is how I basically do it.
Feels real as fuck to me.
Yeah, I'm definitely in that same of like, what am I needing right now? So I'm just allowing myself a lot of grace to stay in bed longer, or, you know, order takeout if I can, you know, trying to you know, I'm also of the like, you deserve a treat. Get yourself a little treat. but I am, you know, I'm trying to think of things that I can do that I know my mom would have wanted me to do. So like taking time off of work and resting more, you know, unplugging from the internet and just having a little bit more things to myself. I've always lived a very like public life and everything that I do is documented. And, you know, few years really had a major career shift and, you know, personality shift and all of this happened. And then my mom died. So I was kind of like in the middle of this major upheaval, like personal upheaval. And then this happened. So I think back to like, what would my mom have wanted me to do? And she wanted me to take more time for myself. She was really wanting me to like help pay somebody to clean my house once a month. And I was like, I haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking about it. But it's like little things that she'd tell me. She's like, listen, like she was like, I know. She was like, just do it every 4 to 6 weeks. Just have somebody, you know, find somebody you trust, have them pay to come help you, you know. And I was like, but I did get somebody to pay. I'm paying someone to clean up the dog poop that I have because I kept one of the puppies, shocker. So I now have two giant dogs. So I've got too many animals for my own good. So I did that. But like little things like that, I feel like is kind of how I'm coping. I'm like, she told you to do this. And I'm like, you haven't done it. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll like do something, one thing that's going to make my life easier if I can. But I think mostly just giving myself grace to be where I'm at. And like, there's lots of days where I'm like, I'm not getting out of this bed for another 2 hours or something, you know, and just trying to, as much as possible, give myself grace to be where I am. The other thing I did is that my mom was a crafty lady. And over the pandemic, she took, she made like a little book that had all of my clippings because I was a journalist for about 10 years. So she like cut out all of my clippings and compiled them all into a book, which was really sweet. So what I did over the weekend was I got a bunch of photos that people had sent me of her that I had printed out. And I had at her memorial service, I had people write on cards, like little memories of my mom or how they met her. And I hadn't done anything with it. And then I was like, all right, now seems like the time. So the other morning I got up early, I like built a fire in my fireplace, like made some coffee and I just put together, you know, I like cut the little cards out and read through them all and just cried and cut the pictures out and made a little book. So my thought is that that's actually how I'm coping now, is just by creating something that I can like find that I'm like, oh, look, there she is. So that's how I'm coping as of this weekend. It's a new thing.
Okay, left field question. Where's the wildest place you've cried so far?
Probably work.
Oh, you were stripping? Were you on the pole?
Oh yeah. Sunglasses.
Somebody was into it. Everything's a thing. Someone was into it.
Yeah, exactly.
No wild place for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I have. I don't know if I have a wild place either.
Okay.
I mean, mine's always in the car. Yeah, always operating heavy machinery, which is ideal.
Danger.
Which is good.
Do you ever find yourself talking to them? Like, sometimes I'll just be like, why did you leave me with these people? Why the fuck did you leave me in charge? I get they couldn't do it, but why me? Like, I constantly am just like talking out loud. Then I'm like, wait, am I the crazy one? I'll text my friends. I think I'm crazy. Guys, I think I got to stop helping people with mental health. I think I'm losing my shit. Do you ever find yourself just like asking them questions?
Yeah.
My mom, yeah.
Yeah.
Not my dad yet. I don't think it'll come for a little bit, but yeah.
To go back into the parenting thing, I will just sit in the bed and just be like, am I doing this right? Can I do this differently? And I'm just speaking to him when I'm just like waiting for some magical answer to come, some sign of like, yes, you're doing a good job, or no, you should probably do this instead of that. Like, you're pissing this kid off. So maybe change your tactics here. I'm just like waiting for some type of sign. But yeah, all the time I am asking if I'm doing a good job, or like what I can do differently, or what I can say differently. Just any type of parenting that, that he can give me guidance on, I'm asking.
I would say don't stop asking, because you never know when you're going to get answers. There's so many times where I will just hear my dad in my head, or I'll be having this really dark moment and he'll just be like, Mel, come on, Mel, come on, you know? And I just really feel his presence in my life still. And I don't think that bond will ever be broken.
What have you learned about yourself? I feel like I've learned, I go back and forth, because I, you know, I'm always in my head and I'm like, what have I learned from this? Because I always am like, everything's a fucking teaching moment. I got to stop that shit. But I'm like, I think for me, I think I learned how loved I was in that moment. Like the way that my friends were like, that's, you're not going to, like, you don't get to push us away. Like we're at the house, you're eating. And I also learned, like, I know I'm a very capable human. She's a bad bitch, right? But the ways that I'm capable of just, like, existing with myself sometimes, and I'm like, oh, you are, like, you can do shit. Like, you could do the adult things that you were like, I don't know if I could do this. You were forced to, so you can do it. And so I've learned something every day. Like, I'm like, I learned that sitting the fuck down is okay. Like, I don't need to be at every party, every show. I've learned that if people wanted to show up, they will. And that love looks different in relationships. But I'm thankful for having had that person. And like you, like some of y'all have said, like being able to look back and be like, oh, I guess you were showing up that way. Like you were teaching me, even when I was mad at you and like frustrated. And I was like, you don't fucking get me. Why? I was like, one day I was like, do you even know anything about me? I was like, why don't you ask any questions? And he was like, I figure you would just tell me things. What? No, that's crazy. So yeah, I guess my question to y'all, what have you learned about yourselves? Like, even in those moments when we're like, I don't think I spend enough time with myself. We do go on to, back to pissing, sitting on the toilet, you're by yourself, bathing, you're by yourself, right? Like, sometimes we go outside, being in the car, we're by ourselves. That's probably why we're fucking bawling, trying not to have car accidents. What have y'all learned about yourselves in this process?
I think a big one for me is like, girl, eat that cheese. Okay, like eat that cheese, you know, like have that wine. Okay, like, you know, like do things like, you know, within reason, right? We all want, but I was like, man, my mom was like so health conscious and so on top of her things, and like, and all of this still happened, you know, like she had lung cancer and spine cancer, but she wasn't a smoker, and brain cancer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, like, yeah, eat that cheese, girl. Like, get it. If you feel good doing it and you're not hurting someone else, and like, I'm like, get it. Like, enjoy the moments you have, you know. And if you know, a little bit of cheese is going to bring you some joy, yeah, eat that cheese.
I think just overall strength, and I want to say this to everybody, is like, it's, this obviously is not difficult, but it takes just a lot of strength even to get up in the morning and go forward and just like live the life that you want to live past all of this. Not even that, just like, let's talk about like the immediate aftermath. I don't know about y'all, but like, you got to do so much shit like the next day of that, like, you don't think you're prepared for until it's thrown in front of you of like, oh wait, we got to plan a funeral. We got to do an obituary. We got to like call a bunch of relatives to get them to come.
So
here.
Many
like,
business decisions. And yeah. Oh, I hope you have like thousands of dollars also.
Right.
Cause this ain't cheap.
Right. Like
figure gotta, it out. Dead you gotta, parent.
Yeah.
You got to do all of that shit. Like 12 hours less than after like it happened. It's honestly, it's kind of a fucked up system. To make you
so fucked.
Coroner released my dad because he was of advanced age. And so they were like, cool. So which mortuary will be picking him up? What? You just told me my dad died. What do you
mean?
Now I'm online researching like base pricing of funeral homes. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
It's wild. So many decisions.
It's absolutely insane the decisions you have to make like almost immediately. And my point to that is like the fact that we get through that, I think shows a lot of strength to anybody who goes through this. So I think that's the biggest thing I've kind of learned is like even just getting through that shows strength. And then the aftermath of all of that, once, you know, relatives have left, once, you know, not everybody's checking up on you every 5 minutes and people aren't sending you food every day or anything like that. Like to move forward past those days and to still continue with your life, like all of that shows a lot of strength that just to do all of that, it takes a lot.
I didn't get to make any of those decisions or have anything to do with that stuff. So that is with my dad. So that feels weird to me. And it's not something I thought about until I went home in January and went to his grave for the first time. Like I didn't have any input on his marker. I didn't have anything. And I had everything to do with my mom's. So that was a weird thing. And I think it was just because his wife did the best that she could, but she didn't ask me for anything, which looking back feels weird, but I think we all were just kind of trying to do our best at the time and just keep it going. So if anything, what I've learned is that I'm not alone in this. Like there's you guys. There's the people that were at this like grief sound bath that I went to. And even though I'm like the only one of my friends who's lost parents or things like that, like immediately like here in town, like I'm not alone. And that's probably the biggest thing I've learned. Because it does feel isolating.
So alone. But you're it feels so lonely.
But we're not.
Yeah. Even when we're not alone, though, sometimes I'm like, my head is so loud, I just wish I could go take a nap. Like, even, it's like that cheesy ass saying, even in a crowded room, you feel so alone. I was like, okay, I'm emo, I get it. But, like, but like, sometimes it's just like, but you don't get it. Like when people are like, I understand. I'm like, can you stop? Like I have gone off on people and I'm like, I get that you're trying to connect with me, but right now, like, it's just pissing me off. Like, you don't get it because I've learned, like, I can't tell people like, I get it because I don't get it because my loss is not your loss. Like I have the understanding of like losing people and I lost people before. And it's just like, this one feels so it feels like one day I was walking down the street and somebody threw a wet 20-pound weighted blanket on me. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's so hard some days to like get that shit off. Like you're just like, well, fuck it. You win, blanket. I'm just going to lay. And maybe I do need to lay here for a little bit. What do you wish you knew? Like, I wish there was a fucking book that was like, here's what might happen. Here's some tips and tricks. Like, remember all these fucking bills that you need to check into to see if they're paid or cut off. Like, we're still finding things. I'm like, my mom's like, what's this? I was like, I don't fucking know what that is. I didn't know he had that. Like, now we got to do some research to figure out how to get into an account that we didn't know existed. Like, what did you wish you knew? Like, what did you wish that someone told you in this fucking shit show?
I think for me, and I mean, I guess it just really depends on your relationship to the person, but like, because I was so close with my mom And because she was the person in my family that I was the closest to, and like biologically, you know, I mean, like my dad has since moved away. My brother has since moved away. I was not anticipating the sudden force vacuum like that would exist in my psyche of what family is and what family feels like. And I just had no idea that I would have this strong, yeah, this like strong force of like feeling like I've lost my family, even though they still exist. But, you know, I was like, for really my entire life, ever since I've been, you know, like I've done childcare for a long time, I've always known, I'm like, I don't really want to have kids. But man, after my mom died, that urge came real strong. And I was like, all right, like, I understand where this is coming from. You know, I was like, I get it, still not going to do it. But boy, do I fucking get it now. I'm like, I just need a family, a strong family that's like not going to move away from me. Or like, I'm like, I like talk about it with my therapist. I'm like, I think these are like just such interesting reasons that people decide to have children. Shocker. Like my mom dying would be like, oh, I get it. Yeah. If I was like in a different situation or a different time, like I'd probably do it. But I'm just like, I wasn't anticipating that kind of strong, you know, family connection vacuum that now exists in my life. And I'm close to my dad and my brother, but not in the same way that I was with my mom. So it just feels like there's this immense loss of family that I'm like, where am I going to get that now? You know? And of course, family is built, family is created, obviously, like Jiminika, you're part of my family, right? But it was just such a palpable feeling that really surprised me. So I just wasn't quite aware or wasn't, you know, able to anticipate that feeling, and that feeling coming up for me, it was very, very surprising. And very, I was like, what, this now? Oh man. Everybody tells you, you know, they're like, you don't want kids, just wait. And I'm like, oh, just wait until your mom dies. Is that what you're going to say to me? It's real sweet. No, like it sucks. But like, that's kind of like, I was like, oh, I hate when people say that. And I was like, oh, I get it though. I do get it.
I think that people need to know that, you know, there's certain images that you're going to have in your mind of death and your parent that maybe you never thought you would have. And it is crazy. And you need to take time, if you can, from work to process these things. I had a few days off after his funeral where we didn't happen to be catering any shows, but this is the first, you know, slow period of work that I've had since he's passed. And the first time, we're talking about 9 months later, that I've actually been able to even like process most of these feelings. So there is a lot to think through. And I think you need to take care of yourself. It's so important.
Yeah, I agree. More just time, like having gone through it with my mom, I know that it's still every day and it's still ongoing, but time does heal all, not all wounds, but you know, it definitely gets easier, but you have to go through it, and it'll pop up out of nowhere and stay for a while, but it's all a part of the process. I feel like, I don't know, I don't think the process will ever end, to be honest.
Yeah, this kind of in my head sounds like a dumb answer, but I wish I knew how difficult it was going to be. And I mean that as the immediate aftermath of how we were talking about earlier, but even just like kind of you were saying, Jiminika, of, oh, this little thing popped up. Now we have to solve this. Like going through stuff like in the house of like, oh, we had this. Do we get rid of this? Do we keep this? Like little things like that are just, it feels like the most difficult decision in the world. And it a lot of times, no matter what decision you make, always feels like the wrong decision. And, yeah. And like, do I give this hammer away that he maybe liked but maybe didn't. Yes, I keep it, but is that wrong? Like, again, little things, just it feels so difficult. And that sounds dumb in my head of like, yeah, this is obviously very difficult. But I guess the little parts you're not really prepared for until you actually like come across it. And then you have to like make a decision about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I also took away from like all of this, and I think it's also with age, and maybe I'll also like relate to it, is like I now can like see my parents as just regular ass people. And I'm like, this is a lot. Like you were a whole person before I showed up. And like these, like when people pass, like people from their past with a T show up and you're like, where the fuck you come from? Who are you? What is this? Yeah. Oh, okay. You're who now? Okay, cool, cool. Never met you in my life. They're like, oh, I remember you when you were a baby. Girl, I'm about to be 37. Get out of my face.
Calling your parent by a nickname calling your parent by a nickname like, you've never that? Heard before. Like, oh yeah, MJ. I'm like,
what the fuck is that? a random thought is, you know, we're all surprised that Jamaica has this. We all have like had moments of just like avoidance of like, why the fuck? Who are the things? Why the fuck did y'all do this today? That's like we've all been avoiding it. And I was like, oh, y'all all said, yeah, y'all are wild.
Honestly, I did it because I think that the work that you do is so incredible, and it was an honor to be asked to be a part of it. I think that ew.
Like you just started crying now you're gonna say ew.
No, I know, but like I'm crying about you. Gross. And just how I really look up to you and think that you're just the bee's knees and everything that you do. So it was really exciting to be asked to be a part of it because I love you.
I gotta put Jamaica over.
Oh God, this is not where we're going.
More wrestling terms, putting you over. But that's a big reason why is I have a lot of respect for you, and I knew you setting this up was something you were passionate about and we're going to do in a good and tasteful way. And it was not just going to be like, let me pull all of this out of you and get to your deepest, darkest roots and make you relive all of this. And like, I knew it was going to be a safe space thing. And
that part too, without crying all of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, but that part.
I didn't know you other three before we met today, but I knew it was going to be a comfortable and safe environment. And I think all of you have, I cried more listening to you guys talk. I started tearing up more listening to you guys talk than my own stuff. It's like, I've relived all of this in my head plenty of times, but hearing your stories like made me feel so many different emotions. And I think it's healthy. And again, the respect I have for you, yeah. I knew it would be a healthy conversation and not because I listen to enough podcasts of I want to just prey on your feelings type of thing. And I knew that wasn't going to be the case with any of this.
Yeah. Similarly for me, Jim, like I'll just, you know, anything you want me to do, I'll do it. but also, I mean, I think, you know, because we went through this so close together, you know, it just felt like, you know, felt like we're on a journey and it's a shitty ass journey and I don't want to be on this journey, but I'm happy to be on it with you. so definitely to support you and your work. And also I think, you know, I've realized that like talking about it and like even like the other day on Friday, like one of my sweet friends that she like remembered the date and everything. And she like brought by a care package. And I was just like, wow, I was totally blown out of the water that one of my friends had like kept this, you know, this date in her memory. And like, she texted me with a care package and she came over and I was just showing her pictures of my mom. And like, I think just talking about it and bringing it to light is one of the ways that I want to honor her. So yeah, doing this feels right up, right in that sort of same area.
Agreed.
Yeah. I always say that being my dad's kid was the biggest blessing of my entire life. And when I look in the mirror and I get to see his face, or I'm talking to people and I use one of his phrases, it keeps him alive and it keeps him within me. And my brother and I always said that the day that he died was going to be the worst day of our lives. And it was. It was so traumatic. It was so awful. And if there's anything that anybody can take away from hearing our stories, I hope that it will resonate and maybe it will be helpful in some way, because maybe we can all heal together.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shit sucks. This episode is titled, The DPC, the Dead Parent Club. And this is the thing that I hate that all of us will be in, right? Like, I just wish that more people talked about grief in like a realistic way. And I wanted all of you to come in these, to be here. And I'm so thankful that y'all showed up, in the sense of you are all representations of different parts of my life. And I know you all have different experiences with it. And I think it's so important that it doesn't just look one way. Like, people like, yeah, you'll be sad and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, bitch, this is like a lifetime sad. Like, this is a fucked up
thing.
Forever.
Damn lot, okay?
Until you Damn die.
Sweet relief.
It's getting dark. Welcome. This is who I knew you all were. You've been hiding it. Is there anything, as we wrap it up, because I've had y'all for quite some time, is there anything that you want to say to your parent, or say to someone that just lost their parent, or both, whatever feels good for you? I will start it and get out of the way. I still don't know why you left me in charge of this shit. I guess you saw that I was more capable than I saw myself. But I am so thankful that you trusted me, because that taught me that I could do so much more than I even thought. So that is what I will say to him. And to anyone that has lost their parent, I know there are people listening to this and they're like, you know things, or you guys have done it. It will not look the same. And I hope that you are able to take a little bit and go, I remember that thing that Jeremy said, okay. I remember the thing that Hunter said. I remember the thing that Sarah said. That one thing that Mel said, and I'm going to take that. And so please take what you need from us. And welcome to the DPC.
I think for me, I mean, I cherish, like, my mom was so goofy in, like, I found, like, she had, like, sent me some really weird video when we were all locked down in quarantine, and she was doing, like, a Nia dance class, I guess, and it was just so funny because she got all dressed up. She had this moon mask, and she basically did, like, I don't know, even remember what the song was, but she took a video of herself because she was testing out her camera. She's in her moon mask and she just does this, like, slowly in this weird fucking moon mask. And it's like literally like the creepiest video that you would ever see. But it was like so funny to me. And just like, I laugh and cry at that video because she was just being like so her. And she was just like weird old lady in her little moon mask, like coming up like this. And like just those little moments, those little goofy things, like do those, because those are things that like, I love that. I love that shit so much. And just seeing her true nature. I'm like, be you, take random videos, photos, sound clips, whatever, because that shit, it just gives me life. I'm goofy like my mom, and I'm goofy, you True. Know, like her goofiness comes out through me. Exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, I just try and live that part of me, and, you know, fuck it. If anybody's not about it, that's fine. I'm not for them. Like, I am silly and weird, just like my mama.
To my dad, thank you for teaching me lessons that I did not realize you were teaching me until I grew older and could understand them a little bit better. And just always supporting and being there again in ways that I did not understand until I got older. And also thank you for always being there for mom. And I don't like that you have left me with her because she is a wreck. And now I have to do my best to navigate all of that. And that's very difficult. To anyone listening, I hope if you get nothing else out of this, I hope you understand that as difficult as this is and will be literally every single day of your life, there is somewhere out there who maybe doesn't have the exact understanding, but is willing to listen and to help. And do not be afraid to ask people for help, and do not be afraid to ask people to listen to you, because you might be surprised at who will listen and who will help.
For Pops, I didn't expect for us to say goodbye this soon, but we got a lot of amazing years together, and you sacrificed everything that you could so that me and Andy could have the life that we always dreamed of. And you gave us an example of what it's like to be an incredible parent and an incredible person. And I will carry with that every day of my life. And even on the really hard days when I don't want to go on without you, I will try to live in your memory and live for you, because I'm your child and you made me strong. And I told you thank you in every Father's Day card and birthday card and every chance I could. And I'll just say it one more time. Thank you for everything. Love you.
I would also thank my mom for being the best mom. And I always say if I'm half the lady she was, I'd be doing good. And even though my dad and I had a complicated relationship, he still instilled in me an excellent work ethic, hustler mentality. If you need to make ends meet, you find a way. I do appreciate that. I don't know what I would say to him right now, but I don't think I'm there yet. But to anyone listening, kind of like what Hunter said, if there's something you can take away from it, please do. There's no way to like make it easier for anybody else, but if there's anything I could do to make it easier and be a part of being something that would make it easier for somebody else, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, it sucks. That's just like the simple parts of it all. Like, this is like, you know, there's a few shitty clubs I'm in. Being a sexual assault survivor, shitty club. Dead parent club, shitty club. Like, can I get into like a fun bitch club? Like,
right? Where's the free weed club?
Something. See, I made y'all laugh. You're breathing. Triggery. Thank you all for trusting me. Thank you all for trusting each other, coming in as some, as I would say, stranger bitches, to be in this space. And I do think that community is so helpful in all the ways, like even just saying shit out loud and being able to share stories and, you know, rekindle our own thoughts. And maybe y'all will all go and be like, I'm not talking to Jim for a week after this shit, but that's fine. But I do hope that today felt good for you, because I have so much love for all of you, each and every one of you. I am so thankful that you exist in my orbit, and I'm so thankful that you shared a little bit of your parent with me today. So thank you. And that's it. We did the thing. And we only cried halfway through or something. Somebody's cried all the time. But we did it.